I wanted to also extend a welcome to everybody this fine Christmas Eve and on the service, as today is one of those days we remind ourselves of one of the most humbling events that would bring about salvation for all who believe in a baby that was born over 2,000 years ago. As God came in the flesh, and on that night his glory shone bright, the heavenly hosts sang of his coming. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, where Dr. Luke writes this. Starting in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Glory to God in the highest, we sing. And we sing it just as the heavenly host sang to the shepherds in the fields as Jesus was born. Think about those words, though. Because when you look on the history of Israel, and specifically at that time, we discover that there's a great lacking of any glory whatsoever. Glory is not the word that someone would use of the time the Messiah is being born and in the manner that he was. Right? Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7 reads this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. It's kind of hard to see glory in that. To start off with, it's hard to see glory as he's born under Roman rule, with Caesar Augustus and Quirinius. They're in positions of power at that time of Jesus' birth. This means that the people of Israel are oppressed. And oppressed people do not have glory. They have no power. And oppressed people, they don't have a status of honor. And this may seem true, only it's not the highest truth. Because there's an invisible power behind and over these human rulers, these leaders. Augustus and Quirinius do not know it, but God uses them to fulfill prophecy and his promises from long ago. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, some hundreds of years earlier, reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." It's remarkable. It's said over 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, as God told his people that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So God worked. As Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth of Galilee, and he used the emperor's census to move Mary and Joseph back to Joseph's hometown, to Bethlehem. God's people never fear the laws of humanity. Over those laws are the laws of God. Even as humans rule for their own ends, God is at work to fulfill his plan. And that's what he did that first Christmas night. But of course, it's worse than just a political problem that steals the glory of that night for the birth of the Savior. Because as we've already read several times, Jesus was born where no child should be born. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." The God of the universe was laid in an animal's feeding trough. Not so sanitary and not so glorious for a baby to be found. In fact, there's zero glory found in it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 reads, Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And that was Jesus' lifelong testimony. This is the incarnation, God in the flesh, the King of the universe, and the Savior of the world. And nothing about the scene in Bethlehem seemingly projects a glorious King coming to earth. And yet, glory is there. Because we read this in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" And what we don't realize is shepherds are out keeping their sheep. At that time, shepherds actually had a bad reputation. They were considered unclean by the laws of Israel, which meant that they could not observe those same laws even if they wanted to. They were considered to be unreliable. They were despised as a whole. But it was on that night that an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds. And the darkness of night would run from the shining light of God's glory in that moment. As these lowly men were given the highest theology, as they were the first ones to receive the gospel message, and they were the first to learn of great joy for all people, the birth of the Savior has come, and the Savior, Jesus Christ, will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one that is promised to Israel by God. Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is maker of all, and he is the ruler of all. And the angel has revealed Jesus' true identity to us all on top of those shepherds that night. It was a fantastic night as the low people received the highest of news, as an angel preached to them, and the angels concluded by singing a hymn. And we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 14 again. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Yes, there was true glory in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus, even though it appeared as no glory should have been found that day. God's glory was there, and he brought salvation to all who believe it. Join me in that prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to celebrate your birth tonight. And we know you weren't born on December 25th, but Jesus, we just thank you for your coming to this earth and in the flesh. And we know where it leads, as it leads to the cross, and it leads to you dying on our behalf as you take our sins up there. We thank you for being resurrected again and bringing even more life, eternal life for us. And so we thank you for coming in the flesh. We pray for me.
Amen. Thank you. We're just going to get ready for the next part of the service. Kyle's going to turn out the lights. Tegan and Mercy are going to help. We're going to have the candlelight singing and a time of prayer and worship together, okay? So Tegan and Mercy are going to hand out some mics. And just so that you know, don't worry, we're not going to use real candles because we're trying to submit to the fire code lights, okay? So it's little tea lights. So there'll be a little twitch in the bottom. You can turn it on. And Kyle can turn out the lights and you can test to see. We're just leaving the lights on up here just so that we can see up here. But Tegan and when you've got enough handed out, you can turn them on as soon as you get them. That's totally fair. And Tegan, I'm going to get you to bring one up on stage to us when you're done down there too. Okay? Okay. girls are just finishing counting out the lights and then let's have it continue on a bit farther. Just hold up your light for a second and you can continue on playing. Holding a candle is a simple yet very profound act. It's a testimony to the power of light over darkness. Even the light of one candle can reveal our faces. Can you see that? You can see, look forward around the people around you. How cool is that, right? That's the power of a light. As we hold these lit candles, we continue on our journey of celebrating the birth of Christ. Christ, who is the light of the world. And there's going to be a prayer coming up on the screen now. We're going to say it together, okay? This is our Christmas Eve prayer. Lord, as we hold these candles, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, a gift of unconditional love. May your love guide us and shine through us brightly in all that we do and say. All God's people said, amen. Because the next song is talking about lights too. Hold on to those lights.
Thank you.
Thank you for this time that we get to gather together here. And so I just pray a blessing upon all of us and those that aren't even here or couldn't make it out because of roads and weather and such. I just pray we'd have a blessed Christmas. So may we feel your presence, may we know that you are with us as we celebrate your birth. And once again, we thank you for coming along. Thank you for going through the hardships of humanity and dealing with all the things they tell me about that you, because you humbled yourself to change in the form of the human. We pray and we exalt you. Pray to you.
God's people said, amen. Have a very blessed Christmas celebrating the lights. And you can take the lights home with you, kids. That's for you, okay? As long as your mom and dad says it's okay.